Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank God and welcome to Spiritual Bricks to Rebuild Lives. This is Apostle Cooper, and we're coming to you tonight talking about the stairway to heaven. We're going to be coming from the book of St. Matthew, the fifth chapter, and then some of the sixth chapter as well. The scripture reads, the Sermon on the Mount, day one, on chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And the scripture says, verse 3, God bless those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Verse 8, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it and be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the very same way. So we go over to chapter 6 and we read verse 33. The Word of God says, seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Tonight we're talking about climbing the stairway to heaven. And when we hear this statement, it gives us the visionary of a long stairway from the earth reaching straight up to, through the clouds all the way up to heaven, to the heavenlies, where God is. But we know that this heaven is a place in the spirit, a place where God is, where the truth and righteousness live. We cannot get there in our earthly bodies. It has to be a transformation. The body has to be transformed. It has to take place. So moving us from flesh to eternity in the spirit. But yet on this side and in our flesh, we are told by the Son to occupy until he comes. He is not only speaking of a sense of possession, but a sense of labor, laboring on this side. We've gotten so complacent in our walk with God. I'm telling you, Christianity today is not like Christianity of old. The saints are not really devoted to the work of the gospel and the service of the Lord. It has gotten to be a selfish worship type profile that's coming through the church today. And so our labor, not only in spiritual, but also in our gifts and in our talents, we have to labor in our success in life. Some people think they're successful, well, because I went to college and I have, or to university and I have a master's or a doctrine or whatever the case may be in this subject or that subject. But we have to put God first in all things, realizing that everything, he gives us the anointing to work a gift. So working for your good success and survival on earth and all things natural to your earthly existence and spiritual to your heavenly existence here on earth and in the future with God the Father, everything has to be God first and everything else next. The stairs that we climb to heaven, they are not leading us through the sky, but they're pointing us in the spiritual realm. They're pointing us to a growth in God. When Jesus was on the sermon on the mountaintop and he was beginning to teach, listen now, if we back up from chapter 5 to chapter 4, In verse 23, here we find that the crowds were following him, and they were seeking him actually for the works and the miracles that he was performing. But they had to do something. There was something that needed to be taught to these people. They had to know the bounty and the value of what they were seeing. And it's not just a gimme, gimme, gotta have. So verse 23, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all of those who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease was, or if they were demon-possessed or they were epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Verse 25, large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee and 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from the east of Jordan River, they heard about the Savior, about the Master, and the miracles and the works that he was performing. But he had to teach them. He had to give them a mindset to receive these miracles. And so the foundation that the steps and the stairway is laid daily, it guides us toward heaven, to our heavenly place in God. It guides us out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm. We're so caught up with things today until we really don't see God in the spirit. And there are a lot of things that have blinded us. We're caught up in traditions. We're caught up in the old ways of worship and the old ways of service. We're caught up in the new ways, and things are changing, and there's no revelation. There's no real knowledge. And so if we look as far back, just look into our rearview mirror, into our past, we can remember, and we'll all agree that every step that we took, where we are today, what were the steps that we were going through, the changes and building ourselves and drawing ourselves closer to God. There may be some that's on the same step and been there for a number of years, and it takes progression. You have to move forward in God. If you are a Christian or if you're a non-Christian, if you're a backslider, or if you don't even know who or what you are, or where you are, or what point you are in your life, what I can tell you right now is that you're either at the bottom of the stairs on the first step, or somewhere in the middle, or near the end of the stairway at the top, somewhere. You have a choice right now and a decision to make. Either move to the next step or get off the stairway. You don't want to stumble and fall off the stairway. You can hurt yourself. It can be devastating. You miss heaven. If you're a professing Christian and living as a sinner, then you have fallen off the stairway, or you're standing in the way of somebody else who's trying to get past you. Don't be a stumbling block to those that are trying to find God or trying to find Christ, those that are trying to move forward in their walk with God. Everybody has an opinion, but if it doesn't line up with the Bible, the Word of God, then your opinion means nothing. So you're a stumbling block. You're on the stairway, and you're blocking the pathway of someone that wants to move forward, someone who is climbing the stairway to the heavenlies. Don't play on the stairs. Get off before you fall and hurt yourself. Your stairway is the everyday trials and difficulties, the blessings and joys that you go through in your daily basis or daily walk. You won't go further or higher unless you move. You can stand there, but that's just it. You're just going to stand there. There's no progression, not even regression. You know, you're not hot or cold. You're just lukewarm. You don't want to go forward. You don't want to back up. Make a decision. Standing still or turning back is not an option in God. Sorry. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." We're so busy seeking things, we forgot to seek the Father. We forgot to seek the Lord. And God told Jeremiah back in the Old Testament, he said, "You tell them people if they will find me if they seek for me with their whole heart. If they seek me, they will find me. If they search for me with their whole heart." That's everything you got. I mean, not taking a break. We got Christians today that have taken a break from God. Go figure. How do you take a break from God, from your Heavenly Father? How do you take a break from service to the Lord? You don't want him to take a break from you in sickness or in health, in poor poverty or in wealth. You want God to be there through everything, but then when we grow up, so to speak, in our flesh, then we don't want the spiritual concept of God because we're doing all right. We're financially secure, seem to be healthy, things are going on. So now we, you know, do our own thing and put God on the back burner. But, oh, when things go wrong, my God, who's the first person you call? Seeking may just cause you to spend time, more time in on one step than the other, but you stay there until you get the knowledge or the unction of God and move forward. You have to seek, you have to pray, you have to study the word of God. You have to have an open heart and an open mind to receive things of God. Things are changing. Yes, they're changing, but the word of God has not changed. Maybe we're getting a clearer understanding of it, but it has not changed. It's always been plain and pure for us to understand. All we have to do is walk in it, not because of what somebody taught us, but because James said, if you like knowledge, ask God, who gives to everyone thoroughly as he sees fit. But when you ask him, you can't be wavering and don't think you're not receiving anything because you got to believe. He said you have to have faith to believe that he is giving you that knowledge. Because a double-minded man is unstable and on his way, so you can't be up and down and wishy-washy. You just go, you're going to trust God or you're not. So get off the stairway because this is our road to heaven. If you're not going to move forward, don't block nobody else. It's not an easy climb. Of course it's not. My mom used to always say it's an uphill journey. And anybody who has walked up a hill knows that it's not easy walking up a hill. And this it means the world to us. It means our life. It's our survival. It's who we are. If you were headed up a hill, and somebody told you you didn't make it to the top, you would die. You would run up that hill. You would take every ounce of energy and strength that you have to get to the top of that hill. Or if there was some money, a bag of money up there, oh my God, you run over everything in your way to get. To the top of that hill. But it's an uphill journey. It's a struggle, but it's a push. You go through one, you go one step, and maybe a financial thing that you're going through right on that step. So what do? You worship God in that. You learn of God. You spend time with God. You go out and you help somebody. You serve somebody. You do something that's going to keep your mind and your heart saturated on the things of God. You eat that script roll, the word of God, as it was your meal. And in essence, it really is our meal. It's our life. And so it's a life journey, and guess what? You never back down. You never slow down. You never take down. I found people that slow down. When you slow down, guess what? You will stop. Eventually, you will stop. There are some people that could probably, excuse me, confess today that I've stopped. I don't worship like I used to. I don't go to church like I used to. I don't serve God. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I don't give my tithes and offering. I'm not a help and a blessing in the church. I don't serve people. Right now, it's all about me. There are people, if they were honest, they can say, yes, that's me. Well, now it's time to repent and get back up on the stairway and start climbing. Start reaching for the Lord. Start climbing again the stairway to heaven if you want to make it there. Jesus was giving these people an attitude, trying to get their attitude right. When we're in God, our attitude takes us to the next step or takes us to the next level, or it makes us stand still or it pushes us back. It depends on your attitude. If you have the character of God, you're going to push forward. Because you're going to know how to stand, and you're going to know how to push. You're going to know how to pick your foot up and pull your way up the other step because you have the character of Christ. First of all, if you're going through something, a trial or tribulation, it's not going to weigh you down. Sometimes we try to walk this walk all way down, and the reason we're weighed down, not because things are happening, that's not just it. And not because there's some kind of heavy burden, not that's not it. We're weighed down because we don't have the unction or the desire to have that fellowship with God. We don't have that relationship with him. And so now these other things around us that are affecting us are weighing us down. We're weighed down because we have no relationship. Because you will have trials. If you don't think you can or you don't think you can do it, guess what? If you can't take it, you won't make it on this journey. If you want to get on the stairway, if you want to climb the stairway, you have to understand that this is a journey that you alone can make. Amen? I can't push it for you. You won't be on that stairway by yourself. The Lord will be there with you, but I can't push you up there. I can help you. I can give you direction. I can give you word, and I can and encourage you. But instead, you pick your own foot up and step to the next step, you won't make it. And so when Jesus saw these people hungering and thirsting for what he had to get them into the frame of mind to receive it. Some people, they'll go before the Lord, I want this, I want that, give me this, give me this, give me my family this, give my cousin, my sister, my third cousin wants removed, whatever. We're praying for things that we want instead of seeking fellowship with God. And so these people's mind had to change. And Apostle Paul told the Roman church that, back in the day, he said, you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's so for us today. It was back in Jesus' day, though, back in the Old Testament. It still is today. Our natural mind cannot comprehend and understand the things of God. So Jesus sat the people down and he started to teach them. He said, God bless those who are poor and realize that they have a need for him. When Jesus said that, you don't have to ask your Heavenly Father for anything because he already knows what you have need of. We don't believe that. The people of God don't really believe that because when most time people pray, they're asking God for something as if he don't know what you have need of. He knows what you have need of. He knows your heart's desire. David said he knows our thoughts are far off. That means when that thought was on its way to your mind, guess what? God saw it coming. He already knew it was on his way. So you got to deal with it the proper way because God already knows you're having that thought. And so he knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. There's nothing new to him under the sun. That's what Solomon said. There's nothing new to God. I mean, everything, he's already seen it happen before it happened. He's already in our tomorrow. We just got to get there. We just got to make sure we wake up and see tomorrow or are able to walk into tomorrow and don't drop dead on this side. But God is already there, so there is no surprise to him. And so when Jesus told them, if those who are poor, they have to realize that they need God. You're in need of God. We need the Lord. The wealthy needs the Lord. I don't care how many billions of dollars you have. When you die, your body is going back to the dust of the land, and somebody's going to be fighting and killing each other over the money you left back here. So you can't take that with you. You need the Lord. People need the Lord. And so when people realize that their attitude changed, the selfish way that people have, you know, folks say, well, I'm atheist. I don't believe there's a God. Of course you are because you're selfish. Atheists are selfish, self-hearted people. And actually, I say they're self-loathing. You don't want to trust anybody. You don't want to worship a true and living God, the creator of the heavens and earth. You don't love nobody but yourself. So I don't believe there is a God. This is foolishness. I mean, nobody has to tell you. God has put that within every human being, an understanding that there is a God. So you had to work on that atheist thing. You had to really work to get that into your heart. And then he told them in verse 4, he said, God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We will die. Our families will die. We're going to leave this body. The only way we can get into the presence of God or go to our eternal resting place, if it's not heaven, I pray God mine is. I'm doing everything I can to make sure it is, to be in the presence of the Lord. But wherever your eternal resting place is, you're going to have to leave this body, die out of this body, and your spirit goes to its eternal resting place. So we still have to transform. We have to get out of the flesh and move to the next level, or the next development. So when we lose loved ones, it hurts and we mourn because on this side we won't see them again. When my son passed away, when my mom and my dad, these are people, my son was my firstborn. My heart hurted so, and it still hurts when I think of him. I miss him. He's been gone a while now, a long time. But I miss him desperately. on this side. But God comforts me. My love of God never stopped. I never missed a beat. I knew that if I stopped serving God, if I stopped worshiping God in this morning time, I would lose it. So I had to go to church. I had to preach the gospel. I had to teach the gospel. I had to worship the Lord till my heart is able to stand the pain that it was feeling. And so these things happen, but we're blessed because Jesus said we shall be confident. You ever hear when people die and then everybody sit around? You don't always have to say something when you go around people after a loved one has passed on. Just your presence alone is comfort to them. I know it is for me and my loss. So it's just comforting to have somebody there. And if you want to not say, I know how you feel, because you really don't, that's cool. And if you want to not say, be strong, because why would you tell a person who's lost a loved one and hurting to be strong? You're supposed to be strong for them. The scripture says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not that the Lord is going to comfort them, but that you, the people around them, has to be there to comfort them. Take the load off of them. Clean their house, wash their clothes, run their errands, cook their food, do something. Just be there so if they need to lash out, if they need to talk, they'll you have an ear to hear. Don't tell them, well, you know what, I went through the same thing, or my problem, you know, this is happening to me. It's not your time right now. You have to comfort them. So they shall be confident. And so he expects us to comfort one another, to be there for one another. And so in verse 5, he began to teach them, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Remember, we're so stout-hearted people. I mean, we know everything. Nobody can tell us anything. We already know. You ever try to talk to somebody or tell them something? I already know. There are some people out there that knows everything. And when you're talking to them, you know, you're just like, okay, well, I might as well just be quiet. Why should I say anything? Because they already know. When we don't already know, and we don't know everything. So humility listens, and humility ponders what they're being told. Even if you don't believe it or accept it, at least humble yourself and open your heart and your mind to receive. Humility helps others, bend over for others. So allow somebody else to go first. It's not always me first. Let them go first. Courtesy, even on the roadway, I'm telling you, is just right. It's ridiculous. You go to when the law in Florida says that when the stoplight is out and you have to treat the light as if it's a four-way stop. And so in a four-way stop, is the first person at the light at the stop sign goes and the next person goes. I'm telling you, people are so discourteous. Nobody follows any rules. If I can shoot out there in a hurry before you do, I'm out there. And then this causes accidents. And then now you're wondering why this car hit you, because you did not follow the laws. You're supposed to wait until the other car goes. You were there last. So you get there and you take a break, not even a stop, it's a pause. You take a pause and then you take off. And this car moves because they're thinking, okay, it's my turn. And so humility, we're not humble. People are not kind. We're not patient. We just got to have everything right now. Everything has to be microwaved, and it breaks your heart because everybody is mean, cutthroat. I'm telling you. We need people that will say, yes, sir. No, I don't think I've heard that in a while. Yes, sir. You know, my husband and I are old, but, you know, sometimes you'll hear maybe older people, not our age, but younger than us, but older than the youth, say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or thank you, or please. But you don't even hear that anymore. Humility says, okay, you go first. Thank you so much. You know, would you like this? Yes, please. But folk don't have that kind of courtesy today. Humility says, what else can I learn from you?
What can I glean from you? You've lived this long. It doesn't say, oh, he's an old man. He don't know what he's talking about. He didn't live those years not knowing what he's talking about. She's an old woman. She don't know what she's talking about. She didn't live all those years not knowing what she's talking about. Wisdom is experience. That's why gray hair is a sign of wisdom, because it's experience. People have lived long enough, longer than you. You lived 20 years, and now you know more than a person that lived 65 or 70 years. That's impossible. And so then when you go on your own and fall and stumble and cause havoc to come upon yourself, now you want to blame somebody? Now you want to say, God, why did you let this happen? Oh, Lord. Humility, humble. I think humility is, David point to me in the Old Testament, points a picture of humility, because even when he messed up and when the man of God would come to him, he never said, no, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. That was my neighbor. That was the man standing in the same color suit I have on, or the lady, the same color dress I have on. He said, that's me. And he fell on his face and cried and moaned, Lord, please forgive me. Humility says, I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry, sir, that I stepped on your toe. I'm sorry, ma'am, that I hit you. I brushed against you and almost knocked you down. I was in such a hurry. Please forgive me. Humility. And so the Bible says that God bless those that are humble, for they shall inherit the whole earth. I mean, who wants us, people on the earth that are grabby and grubby and revengeful and just plain wicked and mean, but humble people? God said they'll inherit the earth. Kind-hearted people, sharing people, people that will listen, people that are seeking wisdom and ready to learn, ready to humble themselves. Verse 8, verse 6, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for righteousness. Those who want to know how to do right, seeking righteousness, seeking justice, seeking wisdom in doing well, not trying to hide and do, you know, things behind corners and under the covers that nobody can see you, but seeking out ways to get rid of evil desires and ways to get rid of meanness and haughtiness and high-mindedness, and seeking ways to humble and ways to be kind to others. Wow. Thirsting for righteousness, thirsting for justice. How can I be better? I'm okay, but how can I be better? Every day there's something I need to learn to do to make myself better, and not better for me, but better for those around me, so that people could say, it's a good thing to be around Sally. It's a good thing to be around Bob. It's a good thing to be around Billy Bob or Joe or whoever you're calling, simply because they always have a kind word to say. And if you're hurting, you just stay there, talk to them long enough, or just stand there long enough, they'll give a word to you to encourage you. They smile all the time. You never know when they're going through something, because they're smiling. Even if they're hurting, you never know they're hurting. Why? Because guess what? They're seeking for justice. And so here we are. They're seeking righteousness, and they will be satisfied. So verse 7 says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. My mom used to always say, treat people as you wish to be treated. And folks don't know that. They don't know that rule anymore today. It's like, I'm going to do it to you before you do it to me. But the kind part of it, and the humble part of it is that show mercy, be merciful, show kindness. God shows us mercy every day. The Apostle Paul said, just because God shows us grace and mercy, should we just keep on sinning? God forbid. And yet we do. The people keep sinning, and God is being merciful. And then when somebody comes to you, or something happened that you can be merciful and show merciful, you don't. But we want God's mercy. When the disciple asked Jesus, Master, if my brother sinned against me, how many times shall I forgive him? Seven? And Jesus said, well, I say to you, 70 times seven a day. In other words, if he keeps sinning, you keep forgiving. If he keeps attacking, whatever, you keep forgiving. You keep loving. You keep showing kindness. Keep showing mercy. God keeps showing mercy on you, every day, every minute, I'm telling you, every second, he is a merciful God. And verse 8 says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. The desire to purify your heart in the word, the desire to cleanse your heart. Long time ago, the Lord spoke to me in one of my prayer times and praying for every situation and every person I could think of. And the Lord says, when I come to you and I look into your heart and I see that you had not repented, how then will I know that you had repented? When I asked the Lord for clarity on that statement, the Lord began to let me know that if you say I repent of a thing, and you still have the desire in your heart to do that thing, then you have not yet repented. So your heart is not pure. And Jesus himself said, whatever is in a man's heart is coming out. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever's in you is going to come out. So you purify yourself. What? In the word of God. By abstaining from things that you used to be comfortable doing. The saints of God ought to be so uncomfortable with some of the stuff that's going on today. It'll make you just squirm in your seat. But we find today that saints can just sit and comfortably see things happen. They just sit comfortably and see people doing things and sinful things and don't tell them that this is bad or don't even say anything. I mean, you don't attack people, but you can't say that's not right. That's ungodly, especially to another Christian. So we've gotten comfortable in seeing sin, seeing the practice of sin. Verse 9 says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they shall be called the children of God, the peacemakers. Where are they? Everybody's trying to start a fight. You can't even go to the corner store. You bumped into me. Oh, my God, there's a big old brawl, an all-out brawl because somebody accidentally wasn't looking and bumped into someone. It doesn't matter where you are. People are looking to start a brawl in the schools, in the stores, in the church. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Prayer meet sometime bring a fight. In a Bible study, a fight. So where is God in the midst of all of this? And so this is what Jesus was doing on the mountain, teaching these people, you're following me for the miracles. You are following me for the loaves. But what happens when the miracle takes place? What are you going to do after that? You don't have a foundation. So you have to change your mind. In order to climb the steps, and these steps are of development, this is what it is, changing our mind and refreshing our minds is a development that we're going through in God, and we're climbing the stair steps to the heavenlies, to walking in the Spirit of God. And when we change our mind, when we get that kind of mind, verse 10 says, God bless those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. If they persecute you and laugh at you and mock you because you tell them that the Bible says, or you tell them that the Lord says, or I don't do because the scripture says, I'm following the scripture, and they laugh at you, call you a holy roller. The Bible says you are blessed because they don't have anything on you. Now, it's different. He said, when they say something against you falsely, it's different if what they're saying about you is true. You can't rejoice. But when they accuse you falsely, and just because you're declaring the works of the gospel, don't give up the gospel. Don't give up preaching the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, if anybody comes to you preaching anything other than what's in this word or what I taught you, let him be accursed. These people are cursed, and if you follow them, so would you be. Stand close to the Lord. And Jesus began to teach them. In other words, renew your mind. My God, if they curse you, if they yell at you, slander you, you still do right, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. And verse 11, he says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you. Of course they're going to do that. Who are you? When Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Huh? He said, if they believe me, they'll believe you. If they don't believe Christ, they're going to believe you. If they persecuted him, they'll persecute you. A servant is not greater than his Lord. And Christ is our Lord, and we're his servants. So we don't expect people. And if you're preaching and teaching and living the word of God, you will be controversial to any sinner, saint or sinner. that's not living according to the scriptures. So you expect to be persecuted, but expect what comes after that. He said, because we are followers of him. He said, be happy and be very glad. When someone says to you, you used to do so-and-so, you don't do this no more. You ain't no fun no more because you don't do this. Then rejoice and be glad, because guess what? Those sinful ways are not a part of your lifestyle no more. You don't live in that house no more. Remember, he said, the ancient prophets were persecuted the same way. So, of course, they're going to persecute good. Evil always persecutes good. And if you're living a life and nobody ever has anything to say about your walk or about you because you're trying to live or living according to the scriptures, then you need to go back and do your first works all over again. Seek the Lord, because there's some compromise somewhere. If you're going to stand for righteousness and holiness, then stand firm. Don't let nobody walk you or uproot you from your faith and your strength in God. That's it, Blog Talk. We thank God for all of our listeners, asking you to stay fit and not fit just physically fit, but stay fit in the gospel. Study that word. Eat it as if it were your last meal, and for some people it may be. Eat that word so that you can be strong and healthy in the scriptures, because if you can't see the shifting and the times, then you're in for a very powerful awakening. Seek the Lord, and I promise you, if you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we bless you, Lord God, for this word tonight. Father, we bless you for those that have an ear to hear. And Lord God, we ask, God, that you open doors for them that the enemy has closed. Let their eyes, God, begin to see, God, the things that you have set before them, Lord God. Let their ears hear you speak, Father. Open their hearts to receive the things of you, Lord God. And let their lips speak those things out into the ears of others to hear, that they'll be received, God. Give them spiritual insight to see and perceive every evil device as it come toward them, Father. We ask that you thwart the vices of the wicked one, every fiery dart of the wicked one, Lord God, that it come near them, but it will not touch or destroy them, Father. As they go forward to proclaim your gospel, we speak out against every evil, Lord God, every evil intent of the enemy against the children of the Most High God. And Father, we speak peace and understanding in the lives of your people as we climb higher day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, Lord God. We say, have your way, God, and we thank you, Lord God, for these bricks, God, that are rebuilding lives every day. We say, God bless you and have a wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen.